The time we wake up, till the time we go to sleep, we are only doing these two. sem de dukkha,
dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti. So if you know that going to a certain place, environment, or meeting a certain person, or contacting a certain object will give me sukha, joy, I will go and hold this. If I think meeting a person or going to an environment, contacting an object will give me dukkha, I try to avoid it. So directly or indirectly, we are only seeking happiness. So the terminus of life is happiness. The destination that we want to arrive at is happiness. So what Vedanta says is, once you have ascertained this, you want to ask yourself, where is it? How do I find it? But there is this herd instinct in us that mechanically we seem to follow people who seem to run after the world, the objects and beings. Right? And by getting the wealth, we think our wealth is only for transacting with sense objects. You know, you give that wealth to buy the sense objects which you contact with joy. So you believe that the happiness is outside. So first Vedanta says, first ascertain this. It is not saying it is outside or not. It is explaining to you, it is, you got to first find out, isn't there? So in Vedantic analysis, it explains to you, proves to you that it is not there. Why it says it is not there at all? Right? So, any achievement at the physical level, material level, physical level, emotional level, intellectual level, doesn't give you happiness. Any amount of wealth doesn't give you that happiness that you are looking for. What you are looking for is an infinite bliss. So by going after more and more, you don't become more happy. In fact, after having achieved more, sometimes you become very unhappy. For you, more is less. Are you with me? So therefore what Vedanta says is, you have to turn your attention away from the world to the Atma within. And the real source of happiness is Atma. And that's your goal. In fact, everybody wants to get there only. Without knowing where it is, you are going outside. And you are duped by the senses. In fact, this word is used by Swami Ramanita very nicely. He says, don't get duped by your senses. How is it getting duped by the senses? See, you say, for example, if I, first of all, you are calm, peaceful, happy, now contented with X, whatever the X may be. Now, suddenly in the X, there's a thought popping up that I will be happy only if I get X to the power of 5. Okay. So now what happens? It's like in a placid pool of water, somebody has thrown a pebble. Now when a pebble is thrown in a placid pool of water, what happens? It creates ripples. Similarly, in your serene, composed, calm, happy mind, when the thought of X to the power of 5 comes, you were happy with X. But now X to the power of 5 only will give you happiness, the thought has come. Right? Now agitation starts, that is the ripples. And now when you contact and get X to the power of 5, you feel happy. So this is where you are duped to believe that X to the power of 5 brought you happiness. So what we have to carefully analyze here is, no doubt when I contacted X to the power of 5, I got the happiness. But did that X to the power of 5 bring it to me? For somebody who is X minus something, for him, when he gets to X, he gets the same amount of thrill. Isn't it? Now, you have certain phones. There are people who have no phones, children, no phones. Right? And you give them on their passing 10th standard or something, you give them some ordinary phone, not even that expensive phone, the same amount of joy that you get when you get extra 4 or 5, they get. So this is one point to be noted. And second point, what we need to note is, did x to the power of 5 give you joy, or x to the power of 5 removed the agitation caused by the desire for x to the power of 5? So what Vedanta says is, if you carefully analyze, contact with x to the power of 5 only removed the agitation caused by the desire for x to the power of 5. Once the desire is removed, you came to your original state of happiness. That's all. But the problem is, by the time you register and enjoy that happiness, another desire comes, or more desire comes, for the same or some other object. Therefore, we are lost in this samsara, this cycle of constant chasing, never-ending chase. Therefore, Vedanta says, you've got to go within and identify with the self. And that is where the infinite happiness resides, which is what you are quoting. So once this becomes clear, then if you are really, really convinced, then what happens is, now the next question comes, does it mean that I will not contact the world? I will stop contacting the world? You will not contact the world for the purpose of happiness anymore. You will contact the world for transactional purpose. Right? Now, to eat, to quench my hunger, I need food. To go to some place, I need a vehicle. To do certain work, I need some amount of people to work for that. So, transactional purpose. I will. So in other words, I will not go to Balaji temple to have darshan of Lord Shiva. There I will go to darshan of Balaji. If I want to meet, have darshan of Lord Shiva, then I go to Shiva's temple. So thereafter what happens is, I will continue to contacting the world, but not with this idea that I want to get happiness from here. Okay? Now once this is clear, then next what happens is, I will start working towards getting inward to find that happiness. In fact, only then I start becoming a seeker. Only then. Till then I don't become a seeker. I may read, I may do many things, but I become a seeker when this conviction happens. It's not that I will not run after this mindlessly. Sorry. Only for transactional purposes I will go. Right. And there is no limit to this transactional purpose, that depends upon what work you do. Are you with me? Because what is luxury for X? Maybe just an ordinary thing for Y, necessity for Y. So therefore, we don't go by the possessions. This clarity comes. In fact, once this clarity comes in your life, you start living your life much better compared to before. Stress starts reducing, happiness starts increasing. The example we give is, even before the sun completely rises, just the little bit of it coming out in the morning, early morning, in the dawn, is good enough for you to move around happy without any light. So this little bit, this much Vedanta, not theoretical, not listening lectures, that kind of a knowledge, when it really understood by you, then that is enough to take care of your life. And then you start becoming a seeker, like I told you. And once you become a seeker, this awareness has to be fanned in such a way that it goes on what? Increasing. Isn't it? But the problem is, as soon as we get out, the fire is put out. some sand is put inside, fire is put. That is why it is extremely important to do sadhana and tapas to make sure that the light continues to glow. How much effort, even see, I'm not saying this to slap anybody. It's just, it's not so easy to, in this day and age, to kind of get interested in this kind of subject, and week after week try to put in the effort to come and study for 1 hour and maybe study every day also. It's not easy. You're putting so much effort. What happens is, like water sprinkled on hot plate, they work with it. If you don't follow up with your study, reflection with sadhana and tapas. And that is why in the 16th and 17th chapter, he emphasizes about certain sadhanas and value system. Because to make sure that the fire continues to grow, you know, now this Gita Jnana Yajna that Swamiji conducts in every city, this whole concept was started by Swami Chidananda. Swamiji studied under Swami Chidananda for 18 years and then he found his ashram. So he is followed up with this. And this is in Bhagavad Gita. Sri Krishna coins this Gita Yajna, Jnana Yajna, sorry, which is in the 4th chapter we studied. So what Chidananda did is, till then, only fire worship everywhere going. Right? So he said, Jnanam has to be passed on. So he started Gita Jnana Yajna, where there is no literal fire, but Agni of Jnanam was being kindled.
That is chapter 4.
Chapter 4 mein hai. But this Gita Jnana Yajna started by Swami Chidananda is to have one chapter every year in every city by the Guru. And to make the flame continuously glowing, the idea is this. What is that? Weekly classes in that city by disciples. Right? And on and off retreats. Etc. So that the flame is continuously glowing. And then when the Guru comes, everybody goes and attends the lecture. Even though you might have studied the chapter that Guru is going to do 45 times. But to keep the flame glowing, society-wise as well as individual-wise. Are you with me? So now, this is extremely important to make sure that the awareness continues to glow. Therefore, he says, your worship has to continue. The food you eat, he's come to that point now. Food you eat also should be in line with your chosen goal. But Swamiji gives the definition of consistency this way. He says, when all your actions are towards your chosen goal, only then you are consistent. When all your actions are directed towards the chosen goal by your intellect, then you are consistent. So that means even food, certain type of food drops your awareness from you. You understand? So you must keep away from that food. Certain type of food kindles worldly desire. Kindles means it's confusing. So you have to be careful. Similarly, certain type of discussions.
Is this not a weak mind that you say that all the ages are going to be bad?
It's not weak. We did cover that last week. Eating directly doesn't cause, but conduce. See, for example, certain food puts you up to sleep or brings you drowsiness. Right? Per se what is wrong? It's just a grasping. Grass cannot control the sattva. There are gurus, in fact, in this Tantra Marg, there are people who could have had alcohol. But still their awareness is completely there. It is all very easier said than done. Don't try those things. Without alcohol itself, we are losing our awareness. They are in such a level where, in spite of all those kind of things, they are still able to maintain the awareness. Now therefore they say, as a sadhak, it's extremely important for me to make sure, till I get there, to whatever level, you know, there are certain levels after which you fall. Like in that KBC, that one banega crorepati, that fellow goes on asking questions. Somewhere they say, okay, let's stop now, because they lose that money. They wrongly answer, they will get probably peanuts. But if they withdraw, they will get that huge amount. Isn't it? Somewhere we bucket. So we should assess our level and we should continue our sadhana. That's why Swamiji says, you have to be like a lake collecting water. Not at the moment interested in going and giving lectures. Collect, continue sadhana, sadhana, sadhana. So therefore what happens is, you continue to blow the awareness more and more. That is extremely important. Because it's all very easy to finish it off like this. Therefore he says, even food you got to take. Certain type of food is going to help you continue. Not direct cause. Just because you eat that food doesn't mean you are able to concentrate very well. You know, or just because you eat this food doesn't mean you get disturbed. Of course it's the strength of the willpower and all that. But it does have certain effect in your body. And ultimately, the intellect has to express through the body. No? If I inject a little bit of adrenaline into you, you will be walking up and down, come on, let's go out, come on, like that. Just little bit I injected adrenaline. So therefore, you have to be careful what is going inside. That's why I am saying food is not just food for the stomach, food for thoughts also.
Food does alter the state of the mind. For example,
So the thing is, if you notice orthodox people not only eat sattvic food, even the preparation they make sure it is more sattvic. Because the mind has, like you said, you know, eating this, eating for that. So they say, that's why they don't go out and eat. Extremely orthodox people, I know they've met, I met them. They'll not eat outside, and even in their own house, they only cook. You can have thousand servants, no, nothing to eat. They will shower, do puja, and in some houses, with that fire from that lamp, they light the stove. That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm trying to say. That energy, they want to continue to maintain.
That's very nice. The significance is so beautiful. I didn't know that they light the kitchen fire.
Yeah. Because, see, in fact, you chant. I'm scared of chanting it because maybe you'll start feeling good. Jokes apart, you know, the Brahma, Pranam, and then Aham Vaishwanara Bhutva. Agni inside your stomach. He says, I am that. That is Vaishwanara. So that yajna going. See, the beautiful tradition is that when you eat, it's an offering to the fire in the stomach, which is God. Do you understand? So you don't have to. When I say you don't have to, I'm not saying you should not. What I am saying is, even eating, which you do anyway, twice a day minimum, that eating itself is converted into worship. They ingeniously planned a system where 24/7 you are worshipping. If you really understand, if you don't understand this, you will mechanically worship and then all selfish activities you will be doing, unconnected. That's why even children get fed up nowadays. So forget about all this nonsense, ritualistic life. But the tradition, like you said, is beautiful. They want to maintain the Agni. It's not easy. A small little spark should be made into a conflagration. You understand? That's the idea. What we fan will become our celebration. Remember this. And we are going on fanning ego and desires. And when we fan ego and desires, it's very, very entertaining.
Entertaining?
Yes. It's very entertaining. You fan your ego and desires. When you fan yourself, the awareness of the self, it's not that much entertaining in the beginning. You understand? That is where the support of many other things come into place. But it's important, extremely important. Things which are conducive, things which are, so therefore you want to keep yourself all the time with this idea. So I'm only trying to tell you, the 16th and 17th chapter, very interesting chapters, they're talking about this important fact. We may forget.
In this Guruji, there is something in verse number 11.
Verse number 11? I'm not done yet.
No, we've done 11 here. Verse 11.
No, 11 we are supposed to do. I've done only till 10. I'm just beginning a summary of what I've done.
Look at my mind.
Last week I only completed with ahara. So I'm just trying to bring you, tell you the importance. In the 18th chapter he is going to say, yajna, dana, tapa should not be given up. You know? So here we have covered the worship, three forms of worship. What they worship, the deities, whom they worship, how they worship, all that. And now he is talking about food. And having completed the food thing, now he goes to yajna. Then he go to tapas and dhanam. All three.
Yajna, tapas and dhanam are in 17.
Three types of yajna, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Three types of tapas, three types of dhanam.
You have to do that with tapas and dhanam.
Dhanam means gift. Yeah. Let's start verse number 11. Afala kamshibhir yajnyah, afala kamshibhir yajnyah, vidivrishtoya ijyate, vidivrishtoya ijyate, yashtavyamevedimanah, samadhaya sa sattvikah, afala kamshibhir yajnyah, vidivrishtoya ijyate, yashtavyamevedi manah, samadhaya sa sattvikah. The sacrifice offered by those desiring no fruit, meaning doing it for the sake of doing, no expectations of result, and enjoined by the ordinance, by the scriptures, with the mind well resolved that they should merely sacrifice. That is sattvic. Within bracket you can put Nike slogan, just doing it, just do it. No prefix, no suffix. There is no prefix, no suffix. I am in a certain place in the order, and that place has a certain responsibility, and that responsibility has to be carried out by me. Like in the body, there's a system, right? There's lungs, liver, kidney, brain, everything is there. In this order, every part has a role to play. So that spirit is called yajna. You understand?
This is not only about doing a ritual yajna, whether it is about yajna or it's the bhavana with which you do anything.
That to create that bhavana is where they kept the tradition.
Reaction.
The tradition is to create the bhavana. You understand?
Yes.
You may have little bhavana. To make the bhavana more and more, the traditional practices are there.
To be able to
right. But what has happened? Yes.
As a tool,
yes.
Get that imbibed.
Yes. But what has happened over a period of time is, the tool remains no bhavana, nothing. Just quickly, this friend of mine was telling me, if you do shraddh for people who departed on a particular tithi, you give, right? But if you didn't give, Then just recently this Mahavira Mahasaya that came.
The 8th of October
was the Mahavira Mahasaya this year. You give tithi for those people who departed. So my friend had to give for his mother. And that particular tithi he couldn't give for some reason. So he wanted to give. So he called up the Panditji. Because he used to go to near a temple in the pond. There he used to live in South Chennai. So he called the Panditji. And the Panditji said, come in the morning, it's a very early morning, because it's a very busy day. So he said, okay, what time should I come? He said, I will be at the pond from 3:30 in the morning. 3:30 a.m. in the morning. So you, he said, you come as soon as possible, whenever you can. So he went there around 4:35. And he said, there's already a queue. Like that, there are so many Panditjis are there. Everybody is having queue. And he said, in the urgency, even the mantras are being said very, very fast. So he called me and told me. So why? I was reminded of that incident now when I was doing this verse. It's not to be done like that, you know, very fast. You know. It's not that somehow you do it on the day. It's the bhav. It should be done with that particular method.
So then whether you're, even if you're doing whatever karma you're doing, whatever dharma you're doing, everything, if it is done with that bhav, that is your
yajna. Exactly.
That's not about...
Exactly. It's symbolic. Yajna, that's kund.
And that is also
again,
because you're
all... That kund is your field of activity. Your organization or your family or your society, that is that kund representing.
It's a symbolic...
And all of us offering what we have to offer. And collectively their well-being should be kindled.
Sir, my question is on this one. This is African, huh? And it's a metaphor for whatever action you feel. Then it says here, in the last paragraph,
last paragraph,
burns you. Now, I have a question. In the last time we discussed that people continue to do really, really obviously bad karma actually, and they do this giving, they are getting food charge for that, they know what I'm saying. So, you and then Usame, Ji, and then the actions are very, very bad. I mean, you can't imagine how bad the actions are. There's people all over the country, in our country, especially with the ritualistic attitude. Now, here, it says, so that is one kind of yajna, which is say tamasic, not the tamasic, sattvic yajna.
Something, yeah.
And so this sattvic yajna, the sentence I don't understand.
Where is that?
Desire. In the last paragraph,
let me,
it burns to ash. So, those people who are doing this vatna, be vatna, selfish vatna, they do the yajna.
Will their vatna be burnt?
No, so what does it mean?
Is your question?
Vatna gets burnt.
There it doesn't get burnt because you didn't read the previous line. Dedicated action is worship.
Yeah.
Aapne bhul gaya. Dedicated action nahi kar rahe to phir kaisa vasna will get burnt.
The
action
of yajna.
No. Action se vasna will not increase, will not decrease. Remember this.
Yeah.
I don't develop a vasana for this watch, for example, simply because I am holding it in my hand. Only when my thoughts run towards this watch, unconsciously, indiscriminately, I develop vasana for it. Remember this. For some reason, in this context, you remember I just get an impression. Impression about this watch I carry when I come back home. Right? Let's say this flower was or whatever I'm seeing. Just because I see, I don't develop vasana. But if I continue to send my thought to it indiscriminately, then the impression forms in mind. You understand? Similarly, the vasana gets burnt when it is... How I develop vasana is unconscious. How I burn vasana is conscious. Remember that example forgot? Because long time since I stopped giving this example. I used to play with my mala and say, unconsciously as I am playing with my mala, I could develop a lot of knots. Well, I can make a lot of knots with my mala. But can I remove these knots unconsciously? I have to become focused. So that is why when I direct my thoughts towards higher consciously, then I burn my vasana. So these people don't burn vasana. In fact, fact, they create more vasanas because the very reason they are doing yajna is thinking of this, that and all that. So they are going constantly thinking, so they will only be developing more and more vasanas.
So I think I'm beginning to understand this. The sense is burning the vasanas and then the dedicated action is worship. So for example, if someone has, say someone's mother puts a beautiful, simple meal, it's full of good bhavs and that's dedicated thing. Then it's done so much of, you know, things and not for herself, but it's for whatever. So then there is no vasana anyway. Because her full focus is on the action of cooking. So there's no vasana in her, there's no desire ki, oh I should get praise, I should get this, I should get that. It's, in a way we can relate to that in our daily life.
Yes. There is love, there is no desire.
There is no desire, so the vasana is not there.
See, desire is lacking direction. Love is higher direction. When you do it with love, which is bhakti, there is no... See, attachment is different. If a mother is... Because the example that you gave, the very, very... what do you call it?
I am not talking about attachment. I am just talking about like...
This genuine love, there is no one. No one. There is attachment, yes.
But
yeah,
so then that action, that kind of action
leads... So action per se doesn't reduce vasanas or increase vasanas. Mm-hmm. Just because, that is why Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, take the sword and kill them. When he is saying that, he is not saying develop a desire to kill them. You are Kshatriya. We tried all the methods, Sam, Dhan, Ved, Kandya, Sab Kuch Kandya. We tried to avoid this war. But they did not agree. They forced this war upon us.
So
now that you are here, do yajna. Yet yajna, you have no desire to kill or not to kill. As a Kshatriya, you are doing the duty which happens to be killing.
So there has to be conscious effort.
Exactly.
Yes.
Consciously directed action towards the higher reduces vasana. So when your thoughts are directed towards the higher consciously by the intellect, only then you drop vasana, not otherwise. So,
So after the whole bhajan and everything, the followers come and share their stories of the miracles he performed for them. And what was interesting to me is that every story, each and every story in the Bhagavad, either about financial gain, overcoming some medical issues. And there was a couple of people but male child. That was really interesting to me. I was crying because I had three granddaughters and I always wanted them. Seriously? So that was really interesting. Like, he has a huge following, but every bit that people were thankful for was about some version of selfish earthly gain. But having said that, the same trend took me to called Chota Mandir or Bada Mandir, I'm not sure. It's Chhatarpur. His ashram itself had a lot of, to me, it had a very positive feeling.
Like, so then maybe someone comes to him for spiritual growth might benefit.
What your desire? Satsang was very different and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing over here. that his mandir or his ashram or whatever you say had a way. It didn't have like a negative feeling, it didn't have something that made me uncomfortable. It had a very nice positive vibe. But it was all about materialism, and I think that's very valid for today's talk. That's what we do transactional prayer.
Please understand this. Vedanta doesn't, in fact, it's not Vedanta, Veda. Vedas mention lot of yajnas for material wealth, progeny, etc. So Vedanta is after you cross all that. Yeah. So in Vedas, they talk about material wealth. You do nothing wrong in asking for material wealth. So in the 11th verse of chapter 4, Sri Krishna says, 11th and 12th verse, he says, howsoever men approach me, so do I satisfy them. Right? So 99% of the people go for material wealth and this and that.
So in that, are they collecting vasana?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But having said that, the whole idea is to, from that level, to grow beyond. See, when a person is hungry, you have to give them food. Then slowly teach him, take him towards the, fishing thing and all that. So that's exactly what the purpose of Veda. But people, lot of them get stuck. So I don't know what this Guruji is you're talking about, but any guru, true guru, if at all he or she satisfies the Shishyas by this and all that, it's only from this purpose that this is a child that is crying baby. Right? But through that, the child is made to slowly grow and come to the right where even the child stops crying, asking. That's the purpose. You understand? How the people are, I don't know. The followers maybe, okay, I have this, I want more, but that maybe is there. But slowly, the gurus will try to help you to come out of the desire only. Right about the desire only. So you have to give them that to make their faith more sincere. And then there should come a time when they understand that would Bhagavan not know what I want? Let me just do what I want will come to me. It's a slow process of evolution. So here he is talking about yajna. So to answer your question, tool. Yes, it is a tool. But you have to bring that in your other activities also. But today, unfortunately, people just do yajna. Because it's like,
so going back to what Bhakta was referring, that some people do this, some people do this. I feel in your own evolution, if you are stuck with some people, then you are sending your own energies to them and you are not going higher or reaching anywhere because you are constantly stuck in that frame.
To each their own. Everyone has their own.
No, I'm not on that. My energies are
getting wasted. Okay.
By getting stuck in that little frame onto what they are doing, why they are doing,
Absolutely. Where
they are getting what. I'm not benefiting out of it at all, on the contrary. So to overcome that, you have to blindfold yourself or you have to shut yourself to that situation which is very much part of you. How do you handle that?
See, what you do is to tell yourself that each one gets their karma according to their actions. So if they are doing something negative, they will have to face the karma.
They don't think it's negative.
That is their problem. See, just because they don't think it's negative doesn't mean they don't.
I'm coming
to that. Therefore, let them face their karma. If I had a certain worldly bondage with them in terms of my relationship.
Affected
is a different thing. I'm talking about worldly bondage. Like they are maybe my relatives or my friends or my companions in the office, whatever. So when I have such things, as far as I am concerned, I will send positive things to them. Right? I will try to have positive thoughts about them. Rather than thinking why they are doing this kind of negative thing, they are only going to get negative things. going on wasting my energy in the things that they are doing. I am not interested in. I will do what best I can in terms of my thoughts, words and deeds towards them. And I will continue my sadhana. That would be my attitude. I will not be bothered about, like this example, somebody is doing certain yajna. Why should it affect me? It's affecting me because somewhere I have wasting my time thinking about this.
No, because you are connected in such a way that maybe what their actions are, forgetting the yajna, their action shadows are affecting my daily life.
Like?
If I go by what she is her example, that maybe you're in business together.
Mm.
Okay? And I don't know what she was going to, but I'm just so what they do in business is affecting my share of the business, my family share of the business. That is why I'm affected by their action. Okay? So for me to completely not think about it, positive or negative, for me to go higher or how should I put this? Not thinking about it.
See, certain people's action is having adverse effects to your business. If you are a partner with them.
I would say my life.
Their actions cannot produce affectation in your thoughts. Please understand, action is gross, thoughts are subtle. Gross cannot control the subtle. So what is happening
your
is, your thoughts are getting affected because you have been thinking about them. Therefore you are getting affected.
Because there's an interference.
That is why I'm saying, there may be physical interference. But why are you allowing the physical interference to become a mental interference? That is in your
part of your life.
See, then thanks to you guys. Okay, I'll give a very gross example. Just an example. XYZ husband is a, let's say, drunkard. Goes on drinking. And he shouts and all that. Right? Now, it's a nuisance in the sense of being in the same house, family, there's the issues there. These things can physically, yes, choking and all these things, physically can create issues. But if you mentally create a strong will not to get involved in his actions mentally, mentally you will not get disturbed. It is easier said than done, that I agree with you. The point I agree. But I am only trying to tell you that if you said that they are physically damaging my business, then of course I need to take physical action. That is not what you are talking about.
No.
You are talking about their physical actions seemingly having an effect on my mind. That is because you are involved in their samsara.
But he's your husband.
It doesn't matter. You need to understand.
So what are the exercises you do?
Firstly, intellectual exercise, I'll tell you. Firstly, the intellectual exercise is be very clear that he, I'm not even talking about the XYZ husband, I'm talking about children. Children who come through you, they come with their own set of asanas. Right? You as a parent, responsible parent, can give the best parenting possible. Right? If their asanas are too strong to be a rabat, your best parenting would still make them rabat. If this is clear to you, husband is somebody who came from some other family, some other thing, his partners are completely different. Wife's partners are completely different. Mother, father, children, everybody is different partners. So, therefore, I will not get involved in their vasanas or actions. As a wife, I have a certain duty. Right, to help them. Whatever that is, if it's an alcohol example, then accordingly certain things have to be done. If it is something else has to be done. Those points I do sincerely as a wife, and that's it. I can't help them. I can't make them stop drinking, behaving this way, beyond a point, it's impossible. Therefore, I have to first understand that they come with their own vasana. It's no point, it's not what's getting involved in anybody else's vasana. You see, you can maximum give them advice. Right? Uske baad you can't. There are people, just before coming, you know, in our Vedanta Institute in GK2, which is my friend's house actually. So, I come from there to this class. The servant maid there was sharing her soft story. She's saying, sir, I lost about 35,000. 35,000 rupees is a big amount for her. Right? She said, 35,000 rupees she lost. I said, what happened? Then she said the story that I scolded her. She's saying, nowadays they have a smartphone, everybody is having a smartphone, everybody is into Facebook and all that. Now this lady is also into Facebook. And in Facebook, somebody became her friend. Some foreigner became her friend. Whether it's foreigner or Indian, we don't know. At least it's a foreigner. Became friend. And then that lady said, I'm not that much coming to Facebook nowadays. Let's start talking in the WhatsApp. And she started talking on the WhatsApp, making phone calls and all that. And suddenly she said, I love you so much, so you are in a suffering and all. I come from abroad, I have a lot of money. So, I have left a packet. I have already sent a packet for about some worth of money. Lot of money is there, cash is there.
You need
some 16 lakh something, you pay this much. No, that parcel you please collect, they'll deliver. And then she gets a call from the delivery office, all kind of notices and everything, pakka they are sending. And she believed that and she sent collected also. And then they were demanding another 1.5 lakhs from her. And that is when somebody told her, it's all for first stop it. So, my colleague, in whose house she works in GK2, cautioned her before sending the money. I'm coming to that point only. Don't do this nonsense, all bakwas, don't, but her desire is so much now. You understand? She got into greed. She could not control. And she gave the 35,000 rupees. At least somebody stopped her after that. There are fellows educated. She is uneducated lady. Educated fellows I know in the same kind of trap of got caught for lakhs and lakhs of money, right? And some of them can't even come out and say that they feel ashamed that they did this. So anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is, in spite of my colleague telling her, don't do this, she did it. What you can do? You cannot, therefore there's no point in involving anybody else. You need to tell yourself, I come alone, I go alone, I have an obligation. I have an obligation to my children, my husband, my wife, my family, my friends, my relatives, my students, everybody, my society. I do that and get up. I can't get involved. If I get involved, then they'll stop bothering me. So, in short, the affectation is because I am mentally getting involved. That is my affectation. If I am not getting mentally involved, no affectation. That was it. Please understand. I can't help it.
Yeah, and then you have to do your own karma and rise above. You do your thing and you move on your path. You can't prevent anyone else's.
Yeah.
They are doing, they
are getting
whatever, they are doing whatever,
rising.
But you cannot. That has nothing to do with you. You have to keep doing your thing and keep rising.
You can't. Vibhishan told. Kumbhakarna told, and Ravan himself is an educated fellow. He has learnt the Vedas. You can't, vasanas are too powerful sometimes. You can't help it. Some people will do it. You can't help it. So therefore, I am only trying to say that you have mentally given a value to their action in the affirmation. You should have that deduction. Another point is difficult. See, recently, a lady who works for us in the ashram, she needed some help in buying a property. So, it costs a lot of money in Mumbai. So, we said, okay, we'll help you to this extent, which is not like, we are not lending you money, we are giving you. You don't have to return to us. Ultimately for to serve us. So we will raise some funds for you and you buy the property. But the property is costing some 30-35 lakhs. So we said, amount of money, 10, 15 lakhs, we raised money. We did that. Then, that lady is telling us, now that fellow was saying that price has gone up now, we have to give another 5 lakhs, 10 lakhs more. So you please give us that more, that also. Raise that money. So, I was with Swamiji that time in Delhi. So some of our colleagues from the ashram, they called us, Swamiji, this is the situation. Even the amount, and it's a genuine situation, so even if you give the money, it will not help her now. So she's asking for 10 more lakhs. So what should we do? Swamiji said, see, never get involved in anybody else's samsara. If you think another 10 lakhs you can raise and give, give. If you think another 10 lakh raising is not possible, only 15 lakhs is possible to be raised, which you have done. Give that, that's it. If she can't buy, you can't help her. By getting involved like this, you will be into trouble. That is called getting involved in somebody else's samsara. You understand? Therefore, I am giving you this example.
It's a way of looking at it. You are anyway involved by giving 15 lakhs.
No, no, no. That is what I am saying. You take a decision and stop it there. Oh, poor girl, she cannot buy, what can we do? There are so many things like this. You can't help. Whatever help you can do, you must continue to do. I am saying that. I am not saying you should not. But mentally, don't get involved. In fact, first you should make yourself mentally strong before you start doing any help. See, they say this in healing, you know. The people who heal others' karmas and all that, they say if you not learn the technique properly, you not, all those things come to you. You get involved in how many samsaras you are to get involved. Right? You have to be careful. Now suppose if you run an ashram, there are thousands of students who have passed out of your ashram, and their samsara, then your devotees, and everybody is coming, you will go back. Like professionally, what a psychologist do, he listen to all sorts of samsaras from everybody, give the professional counseling and move on. That's easier, it's easy. Professionally to do for others is easy. Your question I understand, it's personal. That is where objectivity comes. That is where Vedanta comes. You need an intellect for it. You need a very, very powerful, fortified intellect to deal with this situation. Always, you are right, 99% will get involved. It's very tough. Very, very tough. So, Sattvic Yajna, he says Sattvic Yajna is the sacrifice offered seeking in the nothing, offered by those desiring no food. No food means no expectation. They are simply doing the action with no expectation. And this is what the scriptures say. And the mind is completely resolved that they should merely do the action. So if you see in the book, Swamiji explains the symbolism of the yajna concept. So yajna simply means dedicated offering to the higher one. Right. So you dedicate your offerings to the higher one. And whatever comes out of that, you take it as prasad. So when you do this, your thoughts are on the higher, not on the desired fruit. Therefore, you rise above the vasana. Keep on dropping vasana. And you go beyond that sattva, rajas and tamas, which is symbolically indicated by those three stripes put on your forehead. After the yajna, they visit the temple, which means you have attained enlightenment. Basically, what you need to understand is, all of us are a part in the total game. In this game, whatever is your part, do that to your best of your ability and get up. And whatever the world offers in return, accept that. That also you accept only to put it back. Accept, put it back. Accept, put it back. The tendency should not be there to accept and save for future. Now when I say that, I don't mean to be stupid. I don't mean that. But the tendency to save. What happens is, if you start living like this, you start living a very simple life in such a way that whatever comes itself more. So there will automatically be spillover which will take care of your future. But you are not bothered about your future. There is a difference between the two. That's what I'm talking about. Whereas the holistic person is thinking about the future. A sattvic person is not at all bothered about the future. There is enough for his future. This way with ease.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyeva Manasendriyeva Buddhyatmanava Buddhyatmanava Prakriteshvabhavat Prakriteshvabhavat Karomiyadhyat Karomiyadhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Eti Samarpayami Narayana Eti Samarpayami.